In a few minutes, how the personal and economic effects of sexual harassment are felt around the world. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the National Labor Relations Board has overturned a law in a way that'll make it harder for contractors and workers at franchise businesses to form unions. Marketplace's Andy Euler is on the line. This is a new hurdle for collective bargaining here.
That's right, David. The ruling that's being reversed dealt with a recycling center staffed by contractors. The law had said workers in the case were jointly employed by this third-party staffing firm and the business they were working for. And that gave the workers the ability to organize and collectively bargain for wages and rights with that big company.
So this fresh NLRB ruling makes it harder for contractors or franchisees to organize?
That's right. This latest ruling found that workers can only be recognized as employees when a firm has what the NLRB calls direct control over the workers. So a contractor doesn't fit this new test. Now, a lot of labor union folks saw the writing on the wall for this one after President Trump appointed two Republicans to the labor board. And certainly a lot of businesses welcomed the decision. A leading Democrat on the board, Senator Patty Murray of Washington, said the decision, saying it doesn't recognize the rights of workers, especially at franchises, to organize to fight for wages and rights.
Andy, all right, thank you very much. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up slightly, 4 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.2% range. The dollar's down at 118 to the euro. Interest rates, the 10-year bond yield is up near 2.36%. Student loan borrowers who are in default continue to climb in America. At last count, it was 4.6 million people in that jam, according to the Department of Education's numbers. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Twice as many borrowers are in default on their student loans as there were just 4 years ago. Robert Kelchin at Seton Hall University says that's despite
the economy going fairly well and income-driven student loan repayment options.
Ben Miller at the Center for American Progress says some of those defaults just reflect more people going to college and the skyrocketing cost.
Every year we have about 1 million people enter default, partially because the number of student loan borrowers keeps growing.
But there's another reason some big for-profit colleges have gone belly up.
There's some unknown subset of borrowers who are in default on a loan where they essentially used it to pay for a fraudulent education.
The Department of Education's own Inspector General took up that issue this week. It charged the DOE with failing to process over 25,000 loan forgiveness applications associated with for-profit schools. The agency says it will start reviewing those claims soon. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Now to the issue of sexual harassment and other abuses of women in workplaces around the world. Karishma Vaswani is the Asia business correspondent for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. She's been talking to women in a cross-section of Asian countries about what is now a growing global consciousness about the treatment of women on the job. And I reached her at the BBC Bureau in Singapore. Karishma, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Here in the U.S., among the most vulnerable groups of people, apparently, are people who work in the fast food industry, where many of the workers are not empowered. The boss is especially powerful. What are you seeing in places like garment factories? I know you've been making some inquiries, for instance, in Cambodia.
The garment sector is hugely critical for Cambodia's economy. It's the third biggest sector in the economy. Notwithstanding that, what has happened as a result of women being the main employees in this sector has been that they have documented incidents of exploitation, of harassment on the factory floor. Sexual harassment is costing the Cambodian economy something like 0.5% worth of GDP in 2015, down to things like loss of productivity, people taking time off work, not wanting to go back to the factory where they're facing these sorts of issues.
And also you're seeing this in the more developed, richer economies of Asia, for instance, Japan?
The Japanese case is really quite interesting because, as we know, you know, the Japanese economy, they've been trying to include more women into the workforce as part of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's Abenomics program to increase productivity, increase economic growth. The problem with that has been that Japanese culture, by and large, has kind of seen the woman in charge of the home or in this very subservient role where business is often done over drinks in the evening, and it's largely a man's world. They end up plying men with drinks after hours. Now you have a situation where women are entering this very male-dominated world in Japan. It's very uncomfortable for senior women within the Japanese corporate environment.
So widespread problems you and non-governmental organizations and others are documenting, but is there any sense that a period of reckoning is coming to some of these countries on this issue of workplace culture?
I do think there is something that is happening mainly in the professional environment, in the office-based environment. But still, for the women out in, you know, the paddy fields or in the garment factories or out in the marketplaces, it's still very much the same thing, that they are in positions of weakness. They are often the main breadwinner for their families, and they cannot let go of these jobs, even if they wanted to quit.
Karishma Vaswani is the Asia business correspondent for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Karishma, thank you.
You're welcome.
As the year draws to a close, we're highlighting some crucial but underreported stories on our beat from around the world. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.